Welcome to the Watching World Podcast, a podcast of abundant life in Lee's Summit, Missouri. I'm your host, Les Norman. It's great to have you with us today. And if you're any kind of person that really likes to dig into the Word, I'd really like to study eschatology, the study of end times. I listen to different podcasts, whether it's Revelation or 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, Daniel, Isaiah, Ezekiel, the whole Bible. There's so much content in there. And yes, sometimes it can be difficult to understand and you have to reference and cross-reference and look up words, but it's worth it, of course. But it's something that we're called to do. And if you see what's going on in the world, in the whole Ukraine invasion and Russia and Israel and Iran and just all the countries that are involved, you can really get caught up, especially if you have the right resources. You can get caught up in all the things that are going on. However, there's also a lot of things going on here too in the United States. There are things that go on in our culture today, right out your back door, in your church, in your friendships, just in everyday life, there are things that go on. And so it's important for us to understand and study God's word and know what's out there. And in the series, this is our series, we're broadcasting episode 7 of 9. And the series is Knowing What You Believe and Why You Believe It, Worldviews, Truth, and Evidence. It's based on Hebrews 11:1, and it has, again, brought my buddy back, Ed Croteau. Ed, man, it's good to see you. It has been a while since our last time together.
Good to see you too, brother.
Man, it's great to see your face and hear your voice. And of course, as always, to dive in, you can go to fse.life and you can go to Faith, Substance, and Evidence University on YouTube and make sure you click subscribe. And then also on Sundays at 9:30 here at Abundant Life in Lee Summit, room 1024, correct?
Yep, right? That's
room 1024. Make sure you show up. That room is busting at the gut, man. We need to get us a bigger room, don't we?
It's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah, a lot of people coming. Thanks to this podcast, a big part of it.
Well, it's just wonderful that people are just that interested and they want to know more, or they're curious, or all things in between. I really think it's cool about the fact that people in the class are telling other people about the class.
That's
and
right.
They're showing up, and it's amazing. And I just, you know, you take the time to prepare and study, and your passion for the Lord, your passion for people, your passion for scripture, and man, God really gifted you with a brain. I wish my brain worked like that, but just your heart and your intelligence combined, but it is amazing, but you do it in a way that you're emotional like me and you're passionate like me and your love is just evident. So thank you. I just want to say that big thank you for all that you do and appreciate you, man. So here we go. Episode 7. This is an interesting one. Understanding American culture, postmodernism, and why it fails to lead you to ultimate truth. Now, that's a lot, Ed. I mean, there's a lot there. So, you know, American culture and postmodernism, how do those two go together?
Yeah, I think to step back for a minute now, you gave an intro. You're talking about Ukraine, Russia. You're talking about all the things going on, Iran, the New Deal, and all that. All these things that happen, if you notice in American culture, we digest them, then we move on.
Yeah.
Right? You get this thing on Ukraine, and all of a sudden you're watching NBA playoffs. You know, it's like nothing sticks for most people to actually look at it and try to figure out what's going on in terms of truth, right, how that relates to biblical truth.
So let's pause there just real quick. I don't mean to take too much time on it, but what is it about the human being that not everyone does that, but there are people that they'll be interested in it for a day, an hour, a week, a month, but then all of a sudden, well, it's not as convenient for me. I want to go back to my way of life where I can shut my brain off and I can just watch my NBA, or I'll choose the MLB playoffs when they get here. But people just get diverted back to their own place.
Well, whenever we have missions week or whenever a missionary comes in to speak, most of us are really moved because they're not spending all their time on their cell phone. They're not spending all their time watching TV and different events that are going on.
Sure.
We live in a culture that's extremely privileged. It's extremely fast-paced. We say we're quote-unquote busy, but being busy because we have so much doesn't mean real busy compared to like a missionary, right? So once again, the Bible tells us over and over again, be still, slow down. If you want to know Jesus Christ, you make time for Jesus Christ,
amen,
right?
Amen.
So it's our American culture that's affecting us. Where I remember a slogan from a soldier during the Afghan War. He wrote it on a side of a wall. He said, "We're going to battle. America's going to the mall."
What?
While we're going to battle, America's going to the mall.
Wow.
Right?
I mean, that there's so much truth to that.
So there's going to be no excuse, though, for this. You know, Christ, he is who he is. He lives in us. And slowing down to make time for him to open our eyes, like what we're talking about today on postmodernism, mm-hmm. is essential to help you really know how to present the gospel, how to be a representative of Jesus Christ. You got to understand that culture out there.
It's interesting that you say the quote from that soldier, because that's something that's really been on my heart lately in thinking that, you know, I'm going to stand before the Lord one day. We all are. But I'm going to stand before the Lord one day, and I'm going to be responsible for me. Just thinking about the times I've just been lazy or blew that off or didn't lock in, it has all been handed to me by our Savior, Jesus Christ. Here it is. Study it. Accept my blessing. I long to bless you. I love you. I gave my life for you. And not intentionally, but again, we get so caught up in, I mean, even today when we came in, hey, how you doing? Been a long time. Our schedules get all crazy, right? And we got so much going on. And right before you came in, I've got 3 college softball games I got to do for TV coming up. And now I'm adjusting my schedule and planning 2 dinners here and doing this and doing this. And, you know, you referenced be still, Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God.
Yeah. So let's make sure we're saying this right, though. This isn't like putting a guilt trip on a Christian of, hey, you know what? You're accountable. You better be still. It's more like, imagine talking to your wife this way and saying, honey, you know, I love you to death, but I'm so busy. You know, I just don't have time for you. And don't worry, I'll write you a letter later or I'll get back to you, right?
Right.
Jesus loves us. He literally loves us. And he's dying for that opportunity to really have close fellowship, to be with him. So he's the one who's reaching out to try to draw us in.
That's right.
We're missing the opportunities, is what I'm saying. Yeah. It's right there for us.
I need to be reminded that the Holy Spirit is not at us. It's in us.
Right.
That's relationship.
That's right.
And we need to understand that a relationship is a two-way street, or it's not really a relationship,
is it? That's right.
All right, this postmodernism.
Yeah, let's talk about this for a minute. This is a big deal. Now, if you remember, I'm going to do like a 10-second flyby here on everything we've done.
Right.
We started out talking about American culture, and we looked at Rome, and we said, this is interesting. Rome's a lot like us. Mm-hmm. Then we said, what's a worldview? How do people think with a worldview way? And then how do you know what's true? How do you decide? Then can others persuade you into thinking what's true based on their opinion? And then at the end, how do you test? How do you test to know what's true or not? All that was done so that you can have a very clear filter on how to figure out what's true. And that's the only thing that matters. So you can listen to other episodes on that. Then our last one was modernism, why it fails. So we talked about that. Now we're into postmodernism. So let's talk about postmodernism. It's really a reaction to modernism. Now, modernism was about objectivity. Mm-hmm. It's about, hey, you know what? Science is the answer. You know, I'm only going to believe what I can prove, those kind of thoughts. Postmodernism is more like, you know what? I've seen modernism try to do it and it doesn't work. Hey, the internet's a great thing, great technology, but it can also bring pornography in your living room, right?
That's right.
Right in your face, right?
Yep.
The atom bomb proved to us that, you know what? Technology actually can murder millions of people. So people started backing off going, wait a minute, can science really answer for me what's truth? So what postmodernism did is said, you know, I'm skeptical of people who claim that they know what's true. And so I think the better option is everybody has their own relative truth. We should respect that, and we should allow others to be able to live out their truth the way they want it. So it's about interpretation. Reality is only based on how an individual interprets it to mean for themselves. So postmodernism denies any ultimate principles. It denies that there's a real scientific or philosophical or religious truth which can explain everything. The problem with postmodernism is when you claim there's no objective truth, you're making a truth claim. You're literally saying, I know the truth is there is no truth. Well, it's self-contradictory. So you can't actually live as a postmodern.
It's a living, breathing oxymoron. It doesn't work. It's self-contradictory.
And we know that. People who try to live that way to say there's no such thing as objective moral values will just go ahead and take their car out of their driveway and see how they react, right? You just can't live as a postmodern.
It blows my mind. We see so much of that today.
We are surrounded.
It used to be hints here and there. You almost had to search for it, or I wonder if that now you just have to open your eyes and turn on some kind of level of media or listen to a conversation out in public often. And it is literally right there in front of your face.
We have it every night, whether it's the border crisis and deciding what's true or not, mm-hmm. whether it's illegal immigration, or maybe it's the abortion issue, all these things, BLM, racism, you know, trying to figure out what's really objectively true about this. But people are postmodern. They make their own relative truth. And pretty soon it's very divisive.
So if they claim that there is no truth, which is a truth claim, okay, then let's go to what's really true.
So here's the interesting part. A postmodern won't always say there's no truth. They'll say it can't be known. So if you step back and you go to the Bible for a minute. So when people study in the book of John, when they study the confrontation between Jesus Christ and Pilate. All right, so Pilate asks him a question, what is truth? Now, when we read that, we think maybe Pilate's being a little snarky, or maybe, you know, he's like shutting him down or something. But the reality is, when we studied Rome at the time, and we looked at the condition and culture of Rome, Rome was in a position where literally among their philosophers, whether it was Seneca or it was Tacitus, these guys were actually saying religions were all equally false or equally true. It's just a bunch of ignorance. There is no truth. The only truth that they believed at that time was in Caesar, that the deification of the emperor. So absolute truth doesn't exist. Might makes right. So in other words, the empress makes the calls, makes the decision, right? Quote unquote, government mm-hmm. decides for the individual because there's no way to tell what's right or wrong. That's how badly they had decayed. They had said that self-deification was more important. Atheism became much more rampant. A culture of entitlement. 200,000 citizens were on the payroll for the government. Marriage was no, and the traditional family was crashing. Abortion was rising. And people literally, Seneca would say literally that Rome was under some terrible curse. All right. Now, what's interesting is when Alfred Edersheim describes this, he puts it this way. The arrival of Jesus Christ. Now, this is the culture he arrives into. He says, can a greater contrast be imagined than the proclamation of a coming kingdom of God that came to seek and save that which was lost? Upon the ruins of hedonism and heathenism was the church of Christ reared. So Jesus shows up. Pontius Pilate, knowing the condition of Rome, is listening to Jesus Christ say in John 18:38, John 18:37, literally, for this cause I have come forth. Now, this is Christ speaking. Mm-hmm. I came forth to tell the truth. And Pontius Pilate looks at him and goes, are you kidding? Nobody around here has a clue what the truth is. What is truth? That's what he's saying.
And that wasn't snarky. It was legitimate.
That was legitimate because he knew the culture he was in. Mm-hmm. So again, we as Christians have the Holy Spirit living in us. Jesus Christ lives in us. You know what I always say? Why am I a Christian?
Because
it's true.
It's true.
So this is about sharing the gospel, just like in Rome at the time. There's no difference.
So let's put this in simple terms to say there's a young believer or believer that might be, say, shy and doesn't talk a lot, whatever classification of person that might be listening right now. Something simple. There's the truth. There's God's truth. And there's postmodernism that says, well, it can't be known, which is a truth claim. So basically, we are called by God to dig into God's word and discover his truth, because there's only one place to go for the truth, and that's scripture.
Yeah, and I'm going to put it simpler, though. If we're talking to young people, young adults, this podcast is help you inform you of what postmodernism is. Don't worry about it right now. You know what the key is? Fall in love with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Don't worry about it. What you can get from this podcast, and especially if you come to my class, is an understanding of what the culture you live in is like. The reality is, Jesus didn't spend a lot of time in the Bible talking about postmodernism. He showed it, but what he wants you to understand what he means when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
And no one comes to the Father but through me.
It's him.
That's right.
So to take a second and step back, how did we get here? how did we get into a culture, a nation where theology used to be called in universities the queen of the sciences? Okay,
this did is not what, know that.
Yeah, this is what people were taught back in the 1700s. Most of our major Ivy League colleges were founded as missionary schools, like Harvard and Princeton and Yale and Dartmouth. They were all Christian. Okay,
definitely not that way now.
Oh well, how did it happen? So, in Total Truth with Nancy Piercy, she goes through this, and you can see it today actually with most Christians. She takes the picture of a building and she cuts it in half and say, you got an upper story and a lower story. Now, and this is how people live their lives, Christians. Most Christians, unfortunately, are postmodern. They are.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
See, you have what you would call your sacred day. What day of the week is your sacred day?
It's your sacred day is Sunday.
Sunday. What's Monday and Saturday like? It's your secular days, okay?
Monday is catch back up and plan and go and go
And then that's right.
Saturday is your unwind. It's my day. It's free day.
That's
it's
right.
Yard day. It's dinner, all that.
That's right. And when you're in your secular days, are you spending much time sharing or are you excited like you are on your sacred day? Are you out there in the world?
Boy, we should be.
Or are you a person of two truths? Mm. I have a truth for Sunday and I have another truth from Monday through Saturday.
And you're hitting me with a 2x4 across the table here.
You're the worst at this, I have to admit. So when we look at what Nancy Piercy said, what we have in our lives is a two-story building. And the upper story we call church. That's where we have our values and our meaning, our personal preferences, our private truth, our sacred realm, spiritual lives, how it affects our heart. Then you have the lower story, science and reason, what's public truth, the secular realm, using your brain, materialism. Now, we can feel guilty as Christians and say, yeah, that is kind of how I live. This is the culture people are born into in America now. This is the change that happened in the 1600s, 1700s. Then late 1700s, Darwin comes out with Origin of Species in 1852, 53. It gets heralded in universities, becomes the humanistic way of teaching. She explains that Nancy Piercy, as churches started withdrawing from intellectually confronting the secular world. And then secondly, they gave up on the truth of Christianity as the framework for how to interpret life. And we moved into the upper story. All right, I'm going to reserve my Christianity for at home when I talk to my kids and on Sundays.
Mm.
And then finally, and this is the worst one, we, Christianity, gave in to the demand of academics that we should separate out religion. You know, religion shouldn't be taught in schools. You know, you can't teach the Bible. That's not real history. It's just a devotion book. Well, guess what happened? All it was a front for the secular realm to come in and take over their philosophies in our universities. Now you have our education system, our entertainment system, and our media.
Mm-hmm.
They're all secular, progressive, moving towards Marxist.
And boy, are we all paying for it now.
That's right. And Christians are in our church and we're not living in the sacred realm 7 days a week.
Yeah.
Does this make sense?
It makes perfect sense. I mean, that's very convicting. I mean, I want to ask you a quick question. I want to throw the grace part of that in there. But I remember hearing a long time ago from a friend who's now a pastor, it's okay to not be okay. It's just not okay to stay there. Like I told you at the beginning of this episode, there's just been a drive in my heart, dig, find, discover, learn. I look at my sons who are almost 21 and 17 and spend time with them, teach them. They're the ones getting bombarded. I've got one that is both a high schooler and a college student at the same time. And then with Mac, he's a nursing student. He's in his second year of nursing. Got a big test today, by the way. We're praying for that good test. Yeah, really tough one. But I look at them and, you know, being in my 50s now, I can study this and learn it and see it and understand it and prepare them and do what we're talking about. But the universities and the world, and which is really Satan, wants my children. They want us. And so that's a scary thing. And so there may be somebody out there listening right now like, you know what? This is me. I should have been paying attention more. I didn't know this stuff. And you know, maybe they're beating themselves up. Where does grace fit into all this? And then we'll take it another step.
Yeah, and to me, don't take this wrong, especially the audience. None of that matters to me. Who cares? God says in the Old Testament, he says, you know, whatever the locusts ate in the past, don't worry, I'll give you fourfold more, right? Constantly, he's constantly doing that. We have a God that is not interested in who we are. He's interested in who we can be.
Yeah,
he sees where we're going, and we don't see it.
You're the first person I ever heard say that.
It's absolutely true. If he cared about who we are, we're in big trouble.
That's right.
He knows who we can be, our potential. So bottom line is, I keep going back to this. Everything people mentioned about this is I, you know, I try to teach my kids this. I do this, I do that. I wouldn't waste my time with all that. I would step back and say, we have a loving Father, and our kids need to decide, do you love Jesus and do you know who he is? Because he's real. This is a real person.
That's right.
And he wants to change and revolutionize your life. So let me tell you what he's done in my life. Let me share who he is to me. This is how I talk to non-believers. I'm like, I can't believe you don't think Jesus Christ is like the greatest thing going. Mm-hmm. What is it about him that makes you hesitate? He's awesome. And he's the one who makes the new person.
So living in that grace, understanding how God views us, how much God loves us, that can re-energize us. Now, how do we move forward from there in relation to what we're talking about today?
Again, we go back to the Bible, Proverbs 8:17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Mm. So it's not a sacred Sunday where you come in and hear Phil or somebody give a sermon and you go, oh, I'm fired up. This is great. No, it's about Jesus Christ seeking him because he's the lover of your soul. He's the one.
That's good.
Somehow we have trouble grasping this. I don't understand why sometimes. He's a pretty simple person. Jesus is pretty simple. He comes and he says he loves you so much that the things that you're guilty of, he wants to be the one to be guilty for you so that you can be reunited with him and his Father. It's a great deal.
It's a tremendous deal.
And our culture is sitting there going, well, I don't know if there's really any such thing as absolute truth. Jesus is going, are you crazy? Are you not listening to me? Here I am. And people are like, yeah, but you know, I'm not sure. It's like, well, come find out, test and see.
So good. Well, let's wrap this episode up.
Okay. So here's a challenge in America today. Here's a challenge for us as Christians and for those that are investigating Christianity. There's a lot of different beliefs out there, right? There's a lot of different ways people think. There are religious views, whether it's deism, theism, panentheism, all these things. There's philosophical views, whether I'm a skeptic, an agnostic, a theist, whatever. Then there's cultural views, which we're talking about within American culture. Modernism, postmodernism, Christianity, right? All that's flowing around up there, and man, it's confusing, right? And the second part is, everybody can sound persuasive. You find somebody who's a good speaker, he can talk nonsense, but he tickles your ears, right? He can sound persuasive.
Right.
The question you should always ask is, how does somebody, when they make a claim, arrive at that? How did you get there? How did you come up with that truth? And then secondly, can I test it? Can I test it? And you can. Most truth claims you can test.
How?
You can use a lot of different ways. One of them is called the correspondence test. It's pretty simple. We talked about this in a previous podcast. Mm-hmm. Does it conform to reality? When someone says the baby in the womb's not really a person, it's not really a human being. Well, we solved that problem years ago with DNA. We know now at conception it's a human being, right? So there's a correspondence test to reality now where we know. That shifts the whole conversation now where people come up with different reasons and they ignore truth. Well, then you have another one called the coherence test. And this is what they use in the court of law. This is what policemen use in forensic science. If you didn't see it happen, if there's not the way to prove something, does the evidence, is there enough overwhelming evidence you can look at it and say, well, that's true. Well, this past week, we just went through the Easter week. The evidence for the resurrection is so overwhelming. So overwhelming. We did a podcast on this. Mm-hmm. That it's way more probable. It's something that's so probable, it's worth trusting in. So those are the tests. They're very testable. Again, there's a podcast on this, and we go through this in the class on Sundays.
Absolutely. Well, Ed, again, thank you. We got two more episodes left to tie up the series, Knowing What You Believe and Why You Believe It. And this is fascinating stuff. And I want to wrap this up by saying, you know, you talked about these different tests and the way you can test things. God said himself, diligently seek him. diligently seek him. And I love the way you put that. It's not just on holy day on Sunday.
Right.
You know, Jesus didn't only go do ministry on Sundays or on the Sabbath just to make the Pharisees and Sadducees mad and question their religion or get mad at him and want to kill him. It was his life.
And you know, Paul even says it really well in Acts 17 when he's talking to this unknown God, talking to the philosophers. He said, well, God, actually, it's in him we live and breathe and have our being. Mm. In other words, all day long, 24/7, it's him.
Right. And he doesn't live around us, above us, below us. As believers,
right.
We're told that he lives in us.
You got it.
He takes up residence. And we need to take that seriously.
You got it.
Absolutely. Ed, thank you so much. If you want to join the class, you will not be sorry. Sundays, 9:30, room 1024 here on campus at Abundant Life in Lee Summit. You can go to fsc.life or you can go to the Faith, Substance, and Evidence University YouTube channel. Make sure you hit subscribe and check it out. It's all based on Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And if you missed any of our previous podcasts in this series, you can go back from podcast 1 all the way through 6. If you missed it, I highly recommend before you move on to 8, go back to 1. Go watch all of them in the Watching World Pod or listen to all of them in the Watching World podcast all the way. Catch yourself up and then check out our next one, which will be understanding American culture, Christianity, and why it is the exclusive source for ultimate truth. It's going to be a good one, buddy. They're all good, though. I'm a little biased for you, buddy, but I'm good. Ed, thanks for being here, man.
Love you, bro.
Love you too, buddy. And thanks to all of you listening. And if you want to know more about Abundant Life, visit us online at livingproof.co. For my guest, Ed Croteau, I'm Les Norman. Thanks for joining us today on the Watching World podcast.